We'll begin. Good to see everybody. We're kind of spread out today. All right. It's okay. So let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you have brought us to yourself, and that we are in Christ and with Christ and will be forever with you in glory. And we're grateful for that. And we pray this morning that you would break our hearts over those who are without Christ, and that you would through us, through our feeble efforts, but your mighty power, bring many people to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen. Okay, let's see. We're going to do something very different today. So it may not work, but we'll see. We're not all going to get up and sing a solo or anything, but it is going to be different. But I'll give a few introductory comments that are kind of framing the difference of what we're going to do. But I think it may be helpful and in a different way, maybe an idea for some of you who are always looking for a different way to do your devotions. But a few weeks ago, I made a note while I was studying for Men of the Covenant. I was going to share it with y'all, and I didn't, so it actually fits better here. But the note I made as I was studying, and I was riding in the car, so I was at a stoplight, I wrote it down. But I wrote down, The day I learned to love Leviticus. The day I learned to love Leviticus. Do any of you love Leviticus? I don't know if you do, but yeah, that's right. It's about like the day the earth stood still. So one of the things I do for my devotions is years ago, one of our elders, and I've shared this with some of you before, but one of our elders said that he gets a one-year Bible and reads it every year. He marks up things with different, 1 year he'll use maybe a red pen, next year blue pen. And what he said was he never could get through the Bible because he always felt like I had to read every single chapter and I'd get behind, be 3 weeks behind, and then I'd just quit. But he said what I started doing is just reading through the one-year Bible, and I'd mark it up. And if I missed in a year, if I missed 6 weeks, that's okay. He said I wouldn't go back and try to catch up. He said the next year I'd just start over, and invariably I'd find myself marking different things. So his whole Bible was marked up, and he said that year I might read the passages that I missed the year before. And so he said it just freed me up to read through the Bible. And so I started doing that and found it very helpful. Well, then there was a day that came, not a few years after that, that I guess I had my smartphone and everything, and I realized there were Bible apps on it. So I started listening through the one-year Bible. And instead of reading it, I was listening to it. So I've been doing that for years now. And I would encourage some of you who may have a hard time reading that you would consider doing that. It's been really helpful for me and interesting because I think about the fact that in the days of Jesus and before, the people didn't have the Bible in their hand. They weren't able to just open it up and read it. And so they heard the Word. And I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about, had been talking with someone who said they think it's legalistic to have a quiet time every day. And the guy said, well, you know, you can make it legalistic, and there's nothing that says you have to have a quiet time every day. And the guy that he was talking to said, you know, just a few hundred years ago, people didn't even have a Bible in their hand, couldn't even get a Bible in their hand. And my friend said, that's the beauty of what we have. We have the Bible that we can read every day, he said. But you also need to remember, back then they were an oral society, and people memorized, you know, some people memorized almost books of the Bible, the whole Bible, and they heard the Word, and they learned it and would soak it in by hearing the Word. So I say all that to say, what's helped me is listening to the Word. What I've found is it's hard to stay focused even listening to the Word. My mind will wander off, but a lot of times I'll go back and re-listen to what I'm going through, but it's been a great exercise for me to hear the Word read and to be strengthened by it. I'm in Numbers now, so I've gotten through Leviticus. I'm in Numbers and just hit 13 and 14, where the spies were sent out in the land. And the theme that keeps coming through in Numbers and what I'm reading here and in chapter 14 was when all of the people started grumbling at Moses and Aaron. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. And they wanted a new leader. And they were getting ready to stone Aaron and Moses. And the glory of the Lord shone forth and protected them. But it was God's people just constantly grumbling and complaining. But in the midst of that, you have something that sounds similar to Leviticus, where it brings back the idea of the offerings, and you see that in Numbers, the different offerings, the sin offerings and peace offerings, and the holiness of God. We're studying holiness, to how we can be holy. Remember the scripture says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And in these books, Leviticus is called, you know, the holiness code. It's all about God's holiness by showing the abominations in the land, all kinds of sins that are abominations before God. And so we see this holiness of God. And in Numbers 14, there's this one little section where it says, you've just seen God protect Moses and Aaron. He says, I'm going to bring you into the land. But he says, you're going to have to do it my way. And they find a man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And they said they didn't know what to do with him. He broke the Sabbath. He had just talked about what do you do when people sin unintentionally. He says you get a bull, goat, blood shed for people. In a sense, the people who repent of their sins. But they find this man and they don't know what to do with him. They don't know, is he intentionally breaking the Sabbath or was it unintentional? And the word of the Lord came. Remember what the word of the Lord said? Stone him. Take him out and stone him to death. Because he violated the Sabbath. The word of the Lord, high-handed rebellion. And that was the holiness of God. And it's just it's a weird passage that reminds us that God is holy and he shall be treated as holy. Well, the day I learned to love Leviticus is it's going through all of the different peace offerings, the grain offerings, the blood offerings. And over again, I was just really beaten down this particular day I was listening to, and I'm hearing over and over again about if you sin, take the blood of the bull and goats and put it, you know, on the altar and all this stuff. And it kept going and make atonement for sin. And what hit me as I'm listening over and over again was the word atonement. And it just finally struck with me as I'm hearing it over and over again. What about the atonement of Christ? Is that not just the greatest thing that we have as a believer? Remember it says in Hebrews, the blood of goats will never wash away sins. But why did they do it back then? Did it wash away their sins? Yes. Not because it was blood of bulls and goats, but because it pointed to the final offering of Christ, the atonement of Jesus Christ. And it was the day I learned to love Leviticus, because what I had been feeling so just beaten down and worn down, and I thought, Jesus atoned for all of my sins. And I have confidence in Him, and I'm before Him. And it was just a great blessing for me as I was thinking about that, hearing the word, being reminded of the blessing of atonement, and then finding great peace and comfort. Well, that's just a little aside. It does have something indirectly to do with our lesson today, which is the strange thing, the doing something very different. And that is, I want you and I, well, us, from my reading, to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Our study was on being without Christ. And so when I sent the email to you, I said this lesson should cause us to be grateful that we're in Christ because of His atonement, but it should break our hearts for all those who are without Christ. And so what I wanted to do for our time, and then I'm going to have a challenge for you afterwards, briefly, but for our time, I want to just read passages of Scripture for you to think about those without Christ. What does it mean to be without Christ? It's hard to listen to somebody read a long time. Even more difficult when the person has a southern drawl like me and does not have a great voice. When I listen to the Word on my one-year Bible app, you got great voices that read the Word. Even Max McLean does one of them, and so it's great. So you got to hear from a teacher with a southern drawl, doesn't read greatly, but I want you to really hear the word of the Lord. And so to do that, whatever it takes to help you concentrate and focus on what you're going to hear, if it's closing your eyes, if it's looking down at your book, you won't be able to look at all the passages because there's tons of them. If you want them later, you can you can send me an email, and I'm happy to send them to you. But let's pray that God would break our hearts over those who don't know Christ by hearing His Word about what it means for those who don't know Christ. So let me pray to that end again, and then we'll hear the Word. Father, we do pray that You would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Help us to focus on You. Remove all distractions. This is Your Word. It's forever settled in heaven. Now we ask that You would settle it in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So hear the Word of the Lord. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that comes judgment. In Acts, the times of ignorance, in the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all those by raising Him from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. In Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Then our key verse for today that was in the chapter, Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, when we didn't know Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Then the psalmist says in Psalm 1, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And in Deuteronomy 4 and Hebrews 12, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, is a jealous God. Isaiah 66, and they will go out and look at the dead bodies of the men who were rebelled against God, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. And Jesus said in Mark 9, and if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than two eyes to be thrown into hell, and where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. Same as it says in Isaiah 66. For everyone will be salted with fire. And then Genesis 19, the sun had risen on the earth where when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the valleys and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became salted with fire, a pillar of salt. Jesus said, likewise, just as it is in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with the goods in the house not come down to take them away, and likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? You will be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you, for those who don't know Christ. Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, People will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus said, and these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. Jesus said, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Peter said, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing just as they have from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water and by the word of the Lord. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist shall be stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Paul said in Romans, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, and he will give all according to their works. Paul says in Thessalonians, now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need of anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. And then John, writing in Revelation 6, says, the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains, calling out to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who can stand? Then John says in Revelation 14, then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who has made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs and water. Another angel, a second, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made the nations drink the wine of passion of her sexual immorality. And another angel said, a third one followed, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or his hand, not literal, it just means you're not following Christ, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured out full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke and the fire and torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, these worshipers of the beast and of his image, and whoever receives the mark on his name. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who had authority over the fire, and he called out with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for the grapes are ripe, talking about people. So the angel swung the sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the wine press as high as the horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. Then in Revelation 19 it says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, atonement. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen and white and pure were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with with which to strike the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun and with a loud voice, and he called out to the birds that fly directly overhead, Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of men, both free and slave, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered, making war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who was in the presence and had done these signs, which he had deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest of the slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Ephesians 5, Paul says, For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous and an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. And the writer of Hebrews says, It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is God's word. Man, the sober reality. We're living. We're sitting here drinking our coffee, studying the Bible, encouraging one another day after day so we're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And millions are out there. This is what they're facing without Christ. A Christless eternity. And so we've got to get over our love of this world. We've got to get over our love of ourselves. We've got to get over our fear of man and saying to people who are dying without Christ the greatest news that we could ever give them. I need to do that. I'm at best a reluctant evangelist. But there are people that are dying every day going into a Christless eternity without Him. And we've got to pray that God, You will break our hearts and put us around people that we can share the good news with. We're the only ones that have what people must have and need. So, my challenge is this. I've given challenges over the years with Men of the Covenant. I hadn't done one in a while. Last one we did was the love challenge to go talk to people about John 3:16. That was very good. I mean, that's easy to talk about how much God loves us. And then the two by two challenge, what I called it, was where we went to talk to people about hell. And so today is what I call the Judgment Day Challenge. Okay? You don't have to write this down because I've made copies, so you can pick one up when I leave or when you leave. So it explains what I'm going to tell you. So this is my challenge to each one of us. The purpose of the challenge is to begin to break the ice with someone about the gospel, the good news. It's taking a first step to do that. So the challenge is that before next Friday, each of us will talk to two people. We're going to ask them one question. Just one question. It's easy. So talk to two people. Ask them just one question. It should be done, though, with someone that you'll see again sometimes in the next month. In other words, this isn't one of, like Pastor Rear always talks about, this isn't you're witnessing to somebody on the airplane that you'll never see again. This is somebody, maybe it could be somebody you work out with, a waiter or waitress that you see at a restaurant you go to regularly, a neighbor, a relative, a family member, etc. But someone that you will see again, and that you don't have to know them. You could know them, but you don't have to. But that you'll see again and possibly be able to talk to them again. And so what you're going to do is tell them that you're in a Bible study on Fridays, and your teacher asked you to talk to two people and get their opinion on one question. And when you tell them that, say, could I ask you that question? And you say, now look, I'm forbidden by the teacher, so I'm forbidding y'all, so that you can tell them this honestly. I'm forbidding you to give your own opinion. Okay? So you can say, hey, we're forbidden to give our own opinion. We're just getting your opinion. What that should do is comfort them a little bit, that they don't think, okay, they're setting me up for this lecture. And it should comfort you if you're a reluctant evangelist or no evangelist. You rarely share your faith or never share your faith. It's just breaking the ice. Now, I will put an aside here. Some of you are soul winners. You're evangelists. You share with anything that moves. That's Eric. He'll talk to anything. It doesn't have to be alive. He's going to talk to him about Christ. And so some of you are that way. And I know you will not be able to ask one question and not give your opinion. You're going to say, I can't leave it at that. I got to share the gospel with them. Have at it. That is great. Awesome. Incredible. But for those of us who are reluctant evangelists, you're just asking one question, getting their opinion, and you're not going to say anything else. You're going to thank them for their time. So that's what we're going to do. So you're going to ask them, can I ask you this question? And so hopefully they'll say yes. If they say no, pick another waiter or somebody else. But I'm sure they'll let you ask them, hey, well, I just want your opinion, and there's no right or wrong act. Well, there is right or wrong, so don't say that. Just say, just ask your opinion, and I want to write it down. If they say, what are you writing it down? And you can write it down. You don't have to, but you can write it down. That shows them that you're really interested in what they're going to say. What are you going to do with this? Well, we're just going to discuss it the next week in our Bible study. Or my teacher wants to get the answers to see how people answered. Okay, so that's the kind of the overview. Then you're going to say, the question will be something like this, and I wrote it down. You can change it up, but it's over here. But you're going to say something like this. It's not as easy as John 3:16, though. This is challenging. So you're going to say, the subject we discussed in our Bible study was the Bible's teaching on the fact that those who are without Christ, there is no hope for that person. And that everyone will face Jesus Christ on the day of judgment one day. And if anyone is found without Christ, they will not be able to enter into heaven. So that's the background. You're going to say, the question is simply this. The question I'm going to ask is simply this. That's the background. Do you believe that this is true? Why or why not? And then you just listen to their answer. Whatever they say, write it down. I believe it's absolutely true. That's why I'm glad I know Christ. Or, yeah, I think it's true, but I don't know what to do. You're just going to write their answer down. If they say, no, I don't believe it's true, and they tell you why, thank you. And then you thank them for their time and say, thank you so much for sharing that, and then move on. And that's it. So it could last 30 seconds. Could last a minute. No, it's an easy challenge. But the reason you're doing it with someone that you'll see again is what Greg Kokel talks about is you're putting a stone in their shoe. You're trying to raise curiosity so that they're wondering, I wonder what he really did think. I wonder what Tripp does think about that answer. I wonder what he thought about my answer. And so you want to be able to have a follow-up conversation with them later. And we'll talk about that in another one. Okay, so that's it. Any questions about that? Pretty clear? All right, so I'm going to leave this over there. You can pick one up. Let's pray for each other at our tables that we'll find two people that we'll ask that question for. And it ought to be interesting to see what they have to say. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. It's true. I pray that you would remind us of these verses that we read, that we have fled from the wrath to come and we find safety in Christ. And then I pray, Lord, that you would break our hearts, that you would prompt us, that you would cause us to share with others the good news of the gospel, and that we would start even with just this simple challenge to talk to two people this week and ask them what they think about the judgment day and the judgment seat of Christ. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.